some thoughts about moving south for retirement. Here are two examples of folks that did just that. We traveled out of Puerto Vallarta to Jalapa yesterday. You can only get there by boat. There are no roads or cars or trucks in Jalapa. And for this reason alone, it's worth a trip. It's a small village and a great beach. We took a local bus south out of Vallarta, and perhaps 10 miles, there was a little town called Boca. It's a small town with boats pulled up on the sandy beach, advertising their services for travel to Jalapa. $12 and a 30-minute ride brings you to this beautiful, tranquil beach town. We walked back from the beach when we left the small boat. I thought we would find a road that would lead us into the center of the village. Wrong. There are no roads. There are small footpaths that lead from what seems like one small adobe dwelling to another. We felt like we were constantly walking through someone's yard. Figuring out our mistake, we returned to the beach and walked towards one end of the beach where buildings came right down to the water. A small sign indicated the path to the village, which led up a narrow, steep, winding stairway. At the top was a cobblestone path, about 4 feet wide, that meandered between small adobe dwellings and a few small shops and restaurants. The shops and restaurants were all part of someone's house, just a shop or restaurant on one side of a room, and bed or chairs, table or kitchen on the other side. It was here that we met Catherine, walking down the path. She was wearing a loose-fitting pink dress and a floppy, wide-brimmed straw hat. She used a long walking stick that appeared to have come from the forest. She looked like something right out of an old John Huston movie. She had retired from Sonoma, California, to Jalapa, Mexico. She was a forester in her work life. 2 years ago, she and her husband happened on this place and loved the walking, slow pace of life. They returned to California, sold most of everything they had, piled the rest of it in a truck, and drove to the beach at Boca. There they loaded everything they had into 3 small boats and moved to Jalapa. They rented a small flat for $150 US a month. He writes mysteries. 3 books published so far, Federal Offense, Imperfect Crimes, and Amateur Hour. He wrote the last one in the 70s. Catherine walks. She walks in the jungle up to a waterfall every day. She shops in the village at the tamale factory, which she insisted we visit it with her, and she thoroughly enjoys being a housewife full-time. For the first time in my life, I am just a housewife, and I love it, she said. I asked if they travel back to the States often. No, came a quick and strong response, followed by, no fun. When they have to travel back to the States, they try to arrange it so only one has to go. Weddings, graduation of their grandchildren, that sort of thing. When parents die, they both return. They have no plan to return to the States. I asked if they had bought a house, and she told me that no one owns any of the houses in Jalapa. They all belong to the community. The many acres in the valley and everything in it belong to the indigenous people who live here. They can sell their house, sort of, but it really belongs to the community. It's all very complicated, she says, ending with, so we rent. We left Catherine and returned to the beach. four women were sunning themselves in front of us. They looked like three mothers with three daughters. Mothers, 60-ish. Daughters, 20-ish. The mothers all wore two-piece bathing suits with flowing sarapas that matched. They each had on too much jewelry, multiple gold and silver bracelets on each wrist, huge rings of colored stone, and sparkling diamond rings. They were from New York City, or so it sounded to our ears. "Where are you going? I'm not watching your bag. You wanted to bring it, so you watch it. What do you mean I have no right? We're paying for this thing, even your boyfriends. We have every right." They argued, whined, yelled, and I think in general were having a good time, disagreeing about which way to turn, if their jewelry looked right, or if they should go to the bathroom, etc. They seemed to be disgusted by everything in life. I lay back in the chair under the sun, and when I looked again, they'd all vanished like a bad dream. Three tacos and three beers later, we were on a boat headed back to Boca and the land of cars. And then today I met another expat. He appeared to be in his late 60s. He lives in Torrecillas, a truly primitive spot, yet south of Ayalapa. It is also accessible only by boat. No roads or cars, no electricity or phone service. He has been there 5 years, loves it, claims to be an artist. He seems a bit evasive or mysterious. I like to think he is on the run. He has a little coiffured toy poodle type of dog. In Vancouver, we call them accessory or designer dogs. He laments the fate of America. "All military nowadays," he says, "and I'm an old soldier, but it's just gone way too far. I don't know why. I guess it is the guys that are making the bombs and guns that are making the money. They're probably happy. Guys like Halliburton." "I'm staying in Mexico," he says, and then adds, "Adios, amigos." This is Retirement Talk. I'm Del Lowry. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, contact Del at retirementtalk.org.